All right, folks, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the minor prophet in the Old Testament, Habakkuk. You're like, Habakkuk? Yes, a minor prophet, Habakkuk. If you want to know where it is in the Pew Bible, that's page 737. If you go past the Psalms and you go past the big four prophets, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you come to the minor prophets, and then you're going to see Jonah somewhere in there, Micah, go beyond Micah, Nahum, and you're going to come to Habakkuk, okay? Wow, George, we're going to Habakkuk? Yes, because I want to wrap up our series about God's silence. I want to wrap up the whole issue about, is he listening? I actually have mentioned this book a few times that we're going to talk about it in this series, so now we're going to finally talk about it. In fact, it is this book that caused me to do this series, Is He Listening? Because what we see here in Habakkuk, we're going to see a prophet who, normally a prophet brings the word from the Lord to the people. Habakkuk is a prophet who brings the complaints of the people to the Lord. And when you think about what they're complaining about, you would say, yeah, I can relate to what they're saying. I can understand what they're saying. We kind of prayed about it in the pastoral prayer. It has to do with the problem of evil. You all recognize that, right? You recognize we live in a world of evil, right? Where bad things are continually happening, and it seems like people, the wicked, are just getting away with it. There's no justice. Those who are innocent are suffering, and it's like, God, where are you in the midst of all of that? This is what the prophet is going to talk about. Now, why am I wrapping up this series? Well, we've talked about a lot of things about going to God with our laments, going to him with the things that are on our heart, and then struggling with when we don't hear from him. And so we've talked about a lot of different issues, and I thought we got one more issue we have to deal with. And that's because it happens on a daily basis. It happens to me every morning when I'm riding out to the Y in the morning and I'm listening to the news and I'm hearing about some horrible thing that's happening and people who are dying and children who are being killed. And I'm like, I'm listening to it and my heart just goes out and I say to the Lord, how long, Lord? How long are you going to let this happen in this world we live in? How long? I think you can relate to that because you see the evil that happens around us. You see the evil that happens sometimes to your own family. You see the evil and you see evildoers profit. You see sometimes people who do wrong things at work and you think that somehow, maybe some way that they're going to get in trouble and get put in their place, but they don't. And you think to yourself, the wicked just get away with it. And the reality is, it appears that way sometimes. In fact, if you live long enough, you'll see sometimes like the people who do wrong, they go to their graves with no problem and they never are answering to anything, are they? And it's like, is this right? God, where are you? Where are you, Lord? Aren't you the God who will set everything right? See, these are the struggles we have. So as we wrap this up, I wanted to talk about the bigger picture. Because it's interesting, as the prophet brings these complaints, God responds to them. That's why I thought about doing this series, because in this instance, he brings the complaint, and God responds to him and gives him a bigger picture. And sometimes, can I be honest with you? We have to have a bigger picture. We have to have a bigger picture. So let's look with me. We're going to start with verse 1. We're going to read through verse 1 of chapter 2. Here's what the prophet writes. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swift to devour. They all come for violence, and all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. They sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men, whose own might is their God. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like the crawling things that have no ruler. He brings them all up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Interesting passage of Scripture, George. What in the world is going on? Well, I want to take this passage. I want to help you to understand. There are three parts to it. First of all, when we look at verses 1 to 4, we're going to see the issue of evil. The prophet brings his complaint. He's going to talk about the issue of evil, and when you listen to him talk about the issue of evil, you're going to identify with him. You're going to say, yes, I feel the same thing. Well, then we get to the second part, which is verses 5 through 11. We see the Lord's response. The Lord responds to his complaint. Now, you're going to be thinking, well, you know, that section, what kind of a response is that? Well, we're going to see what the response is. And then when we get to the last part, verses 12 up to verse 1 of chapter 2, we're going to see some more questions from the prophet. Now, there's a reason why he does that, and that's why I'm here today to help you and I. Because let's be honest, evil does happen. Wicked things do take place. And we wonder, God, will you do something about the things that happen? Not just on a world level or on a national level, they happen in our own lives. People do us wrong, and it seems like they don't suffer in any way. In fact, I think back to times when I have gone through things and the people who did them to me, a lot of them are dead now, never once acknowledging that they ever did anything wrong to me. And I said to myself, you know, Lord, what is this? Will there not ever be a time where someone will acknowledge to me that they've done wrong? These are the kind of complaints we have, right? But God wants us to see a bigger picture. And that's what I want to share with you today, the bigger picture. So let's take a look at what he's saying here. First of all, the issue of evil. I want you to notice with me verses 1 to 2. Verse 1 is an introduction, the oracle that Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. Here's what he says in verse 2. And we've heard this same cry from the other prophets, the other writers of the Psalms when they wrote their laments, right? We already understand it. Here's what he says. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help? God, how long do I have to keep crying out to you? Look at what he says. And you will not hear. I'm waiting, Lord. When are you going to do something? Here's what he says. Or cry to you violence. Meaning, Lord, I'm looking, there's something terrible happening here, and you will not save. First thing I want you to see here, there's a struggle with understanding why the Lord is not responding to your cries to help. There's a struggle. We're trying to understand, why isn't he listening to us? When we cry out for help, why isn't he doing something? Why are we going through this? Sometimes it's not the difficulty we face. That is a problem in itself. Sometimes the most heinous part of it is when we go to the God that we love, that we trust in, that we hope in, and we go to him and we beg him, Lord, please, please do something. And we don't hear anything. You know, you and I, we might be able to face anything if we knew God was with us, right? And that's what we live with, is I can face this if he's with me. But then when we're crying out and saying, God, peace, save me. And we don't hear anything? No response? No answers? That really causes a struggle with us. That's what the prophet is wrestling with here. He's looking and saying, God, I'm crying out to you. I see violence. There's evil happening all around me. People have lost their minds. There's senselessness that's going on. When are you going to come and rescue? And God doesn't respond. There's a struggle with that, isn't it? For me, I remember when, I've shared this with you, when we were, this is my second church. This is probably the greatest church in my pastoral tenure. But we were in our first church for 4 years. We went there, and it was a church plant in a rural area. And there were some difficulties and struggles, and we weathered through them. But then it just kept getting worse. Fighting over building projects and stupid stuff, and we had to endure stuff like not getting paid and everything. And so I am praying and I am talking to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, you know, we have a young family. We're trying to get through this. We're trying to, Lord, I need you to help. Show me what I need to do. I mean, I have journals from that time, and there's like, Lord, somehow bring us through this. And I was praying those kind of prayers even up till a month before we left. And I'll be honest with you, God didn't, all he did was just give me peace when I prayed at night. He didn't say, okay, George, this is what's going to happen tomorrow. This is how I want you to handle it. You're going to get through this and you're going to be okay. Just keep going on. He didn't do that. I would like to have him done that. All he did was just give me peace to let me know that he's there. But the struggle is still there. Now, I know now, later, because I see the bigger picture of why I had to go through that. I'll talk about that later. But the reality is, right in the midst of it, we're going to talk like the prophet here. We're going to say, Lord, I don't understand why you're not responding. He doesn't stop there, though. Look with me. Look at verses 3 and 4. Here's what else he says. Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed. Justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. Here's what I want you to see. There is a struggle in understanding why the Lord permits you to endure the evils of this world. We struggle. Why is it, Lord, that we have to watch this stuff take place? Why is it that when we think there's justice that's to be meted out, it isn't meted out? Why is it that when we see that people are having things done to them because of perverted justice, we just have to watch it? There's nothing we can do. Why is it, Lord, that you allow me to see the evil? And trust me, folks, just turn on the news. I don't want you to do that, but if you turn on the news, you can't help but see the evil every day. The wickedness of men's hearts and what they do to each other, not just in war or in murders, but in their abuse of people. And you're like, Lord, why? Why do you permit me to endure this world? I long for something more. Don't we all do that? We long for a world where things would go okay and not have to deal with people who are evil. You see where he's at here? He understands us, right? The crazy thing is, he's writing this 700 BC, 3,200 years ago. This is where he's at. Here's the third thing I want you to see about it. There's a struggle to understand why the Lord does nothing about the evils in the world. We all know that God is all-powerful, right? That he could do anything. That nations tremble before him. That ultimately, in the end, he will bring justice and peace. But we'd like for him to do something now. That's what the prophet is saying here. Lord, I know you can do all things, but could you at least take care of this situation or this dude or that? Like, why aren't you doing something? This is the complaint of the prophet. And let's be honest, those are our complaints. When we look at what's going on, when we see the evil that's happening around us, and we see the evil that's happening to people that we care for, that we love, and we just say to ourselves, Lord, why? Well, the Lord gives a response. It's a pretty big section of our passage here. It's in verses 5 to 11. Let me just kind of go through this, and we'll start with verse 5. Here's what God says in verse 5. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astonished. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Here's the Lord's response. First thing I want you to see about the Lord's response. You have to view the universe through the lens of God rather than through your own perspective. Can I say that again? You have to view the universe through the lens of God rather than through your own perspective. Because here's the thing, I have a handicap, okay? I have a handicap. Some of you are going to just refer to it as, well, that just sounds like selfishness. Yeah, it is, but here's my handicap. I view the world where George is at the center of the world. I think we all do that. If you think about your day, everything else is happening around you. It is you. So you view the world through you. So for me, I view the world through this is all about you, George, and you and your interaction. And I view the world through that perspective of me. God is coming along and he's saying, okay, I hear your complaints. I hear you're like, Lord, why do I have to endure this? Why do I have to see this stuff? Why do I have to endure the news, endure the things that are happening to me, endure what's happening to my family or my friends or what's happening to my nation or what's happening to our world. Well, why do I have to endure that, Lord? And God comes along and he says, look, hold on a second. I'm God. Get your eyes off yourself and take a look at things through my eyes. Whoa. That's the first thing, right? Take a look at things through my eyes. That's what he's saying here. So he's talking to a prophet who is probably during the last remaining years of the southern kingdom before they will be taken away into exile by the Babylonians. And as the prophet is crying out to God about all this stuff that's evil is happening, and they hear about the enemy that's coming, the Babylonians, and they're like, God, how long are you going to endure this? And he's like, whoa, stop. Take a look at the bigger picture. That's what God's saying. That's where our struggle is. There's a bigger picture. And you're part of that picture. But you're not the center of that picture. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not the center of the picture. Who's the center of the picture? Jesus. Jesus is. So you have to view the universe. So here's the second point I want you to see from the Lord's response. Everything is progressing towards the ultimate conclusion of all things. Everything is progressing. So what you see happening there in verses 6 through 11 is a description of the fact that the Babylonian army is going to come and wipe out the southern kingdom that the prophet is praying about. But that's all part of God's plan. Somehow right now we're watching in the news, we're seeing where Israel is going against its enemies and so forth, and we're like, man, when is this all going to end? God, when are you going to bring peace and whatever? Look, I'm trying to get you to understand, if we look at it from the perspective of ourselves and our comfort, yeah, we're not going to understand. But if you look at it from the perspective of the one who has a plan, who is moving all things to the great climax of Jesus Christ coming back to establish his kingdom, you understand. Sometimes, can I be honest with you, we have to get the blinders off. What do you mean the blinders? The blinders that we have on where we only see me, myself, and I, and how this affects me, to where we see God and what he's doing. And what was his purpose? Somehow we've got to see, this is what the Lord is saying to us. I've got a bigger plan. I've got a bigger picture for you to grasp. Don't just look at yourselves. Look at me, because everything is moving to the conclusion of all things. What is the conclusion of all things? Jesus coming back and establishing his kingdom. Jesus redeeming us. And let's be honest, when you come back, you're going to be resurrected. That's the rapture is going to take place before he sets everything in motion. What happens at the rapture? You get changed. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you become new. The old body that you have will be done away with, and you're given a new body. And forever you will be with the Lord, and you'll never have to worry about evil or anything like that again, ever. Everything is moving to that. That's where our hope is. Folks, what he's saying is his response is, put your trust in me. Even in spite of all these things happening. Because I've got a purpose for him, he says. Now, I know what you're thinking. Because I thought the same thing. I said, I'm listening to this response and being human. It's not really satisfying. Did you say that? Yeah. What he just said here, the two points he makes here, that first of all, don't view it through yourself, view it through me, and everything's moving to a point. That really isn't satisfying when you're going in the midst of it and you're suffering because of wickedness of somebody or through the evil of what's going on. It's like, I understand, Lord, and I know I need to trust and I need to have faith, but that's not satisfying. So what I want you to notice then is the third part, where the prophet, of course, isn't satisfied, so he asks more questions. He brings more complaints, more laments. So I want you to notice with me. Here's what he says in verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O my Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have ordained them as judgment, and you, O rock, have established them as reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at the wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallow up the man more righteous than he? Let me just stop there. Here's what I want you to see. Although you recognize the bigger picture, you still find yourself struggling. He starts off this part of the passage by saying, God, you are the one who's in control, and we understand, and you are pure, and you can't see evil. But why, Lord, when the wicked comes against the righteous and swallows him up, that is, destroys him or does wrong to him, do you just idly stand by? I realized when I was reading this, it's another dimension of our Lord that just makes me love him more. Well, what do you mean, George? Well, here's the prophet. He goes to him and said, Lord, why am I enduring this? Why are we seeing this? Why aren't you doing anything? Why aren't you responding to me? Why aren't you saving me? And the God says, I need you to see the bigger picture. Get your eyes off yourself. Get it focused on me. Everything's headed to a conclusion. And we can understand that. But aren't you glad God doesn't say, I don't want to hear about it anymore? It's just the way it is. He actually lets the prophet keep complaining. And now the prophet says, your Lord, I understand. You're the one who's in control and you're pure. I just don't understand why you tolerate this. That, my friends, is the love of God. He still lets us complain because it comes out of our hearts. He still lets us bear our souls to him and our pain. Isn't that awesome? I don't understand why he doesn't. He doesn't tell us. In fact, in this portion, if you go on further in chapter 2, he doesn't say, okay, here's my response to that complaint. No, he doesn't respond anymore. He just lets us vent. Sometimes I think you and I need to realize that when we go through the things that we go through and we're so frustrated and we don't understand, God, why aren't you doing something? Why didn't this happen the way I thought it would? You know what? I prayed for this and I prayed for this outcome and it didn't happen. The exact opposite happened, Lord. Why are you letting evil prevail? And he just says, trust me. But here's what he says. He just keeps letting us bear our pain because we don't understand. One day we will understand. One day he will respond and answer. And Revelation records that he will wipe away every tear from our eye. Is that not awesome? Listen, can I tell you something? When are we going to clue in? You have never been promised that life would be good and perfect here. I hate to say that, but that is the truth. You have never been promised that life would be good and perfect here. It only becomes good and perfect when you go to be with Jesus. And evil is a part of this world because the god of this world is who? Satan. We need to understand that. Here's the next thing I want you to see when we talk about more questions. There is a struggle to reconcile the nature of the Lord with the presence of evil in this world. We struggle with how is there such, there, how could God love me so much and care for me and everything works together for the good? Isn't that the verse we claim? And then yet there's all this stuff that happens. We get cheated. We have people who rob us, who do us wrong, who hurt our families, who hurt our communities, who hurt us and everything that we want. And the reality is, God, how can you just... those are the natural cries of a human being. And God lets us come to him and tell him that. But we have to trust him. In fact, even after saying those things, I want you to notice how the prophet responds. It's in verse 1 of chapter 2. Here's what the prophet says. I will take my stand at my watchpost, station myself on the tower, and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Here's what he does. He likens it to that he's in a watchtower, that he is in a tower. The cities those days had walls around them, and there were these towers that they would look out. And he says, I'm going to take my stand in my watch, and I'm going to look out, and I'm going to look for the Lord to respond to me. I'm going to put my faith and trust in the Lord. So here's the point. There remains a belief that the Lord will answer our questions. There remains a belief that somehow I'm looking to the one who will set all things right. That, Lord, you will ultimately answer my questions. This is faith.